Let's pray. Guide, we beseech thee, Almighty God, members of this house, so they will deliberate for the good of the nation and for the glory of thy holy name. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pray, be seated. Parliament now reconvenes. Honorable members, we had a very long day yesterday debating the issues, and today we will continue that process that was started. In my view, it was a very cordial exchange yesterday, and I hope that spirit continues throughout the course of today. We need to work as closely as we can to the time that is allotted to us throughout the course of today. So without further ado, I will invite from the opposition side, Honorable Emin Pierre, to make her presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning to make my contribution to the estimates of revenue and expenditure for the year 2023, as presented by the Prime Minister and member for St. David's last Monday. Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning to make this presentation in my capacity as the parliamentary representative for the constituency of St. Andrew Southeast. Mr. Speaker, since this budget accounts for 2022 and projections for 2023, I wish to grab this opportunity to first of all express appreciation. Mr. Speaker, I want to say a special thank you this morning to the staff and the stakeholders of the Ministry of Education, who worked, in my opinion, extremely hard during that period that I served as the Minister for Education. Mr. Speaker, that was the first half of the year. I don't anticipate that they are going to do different. Mr. Speaker, I want to also thank the people of St. Andrew Southeast for the confidence that they placed in me in re-electing me as the parliamentary rep. My family, Mr. Speaker, particularly my husband and children, I express appreciation this morning. Of course, the staff of the constituency office, parliamentary colleagues, and staff of parliament, I express appreciation to everyone. But most importantly, Mr. Speaker, this morning, I thank God for his grace and his mercies. For it is said, Mr. Speaker, Paul said it, his grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect. Mr. Speaker, God is good. And so this morning, Mr. Speaker, as I present on the budget that came before us last Monday. Mr. Speaker, I want to focus my attention particularly on the Ministry of Education, Youth, Sports and Culture, with specific focus on education and youth on the areas that we're focused on in the presentation. Mr. Speaker, I also wish during this presentation to share some thoughts and some concerns on behalf of the constituents that I represent. Mr. Speaker, first and foremost, I want to commend the government on the presentation of the 2023 budget. Mr. Speaker, every good intention within this document, I commend and support. Mr. Speaker, I wish to give two examples. Sometime last year, there was extensive discussions on the subject of introduction of coding in schools. Mr. Speaker, I visited the Coding Academy myself. And the feeling was that in 2022, the government should introduce a pilot project targeting Form 1s of our secondary schools. And there were particular discussions as to why. Mr. Speaker, in the budget, $1 million is allocated for introduction of coding in school. I totally support this. I have absolutely no objection to this. Mr. Speaker, the reconstruction of the public library. Mr. Speaker, we all know, and I think it was mentioned yesterday, that this facility was damaged by Hurricane Ivan. It deteriorated greatly. Our government, the former NDC government, was in office since that period, Mr. Speaker, and it should be done. Mr. Speaker, I will support, and I would congratulate when it's done, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, many of the initiatives referred to in the document, many of the projects that were referred to, Mr. Speaker, initiatives referred to, are projects and initiatives I've supported and I will continue to support. Some of them, though, Mr. Speaker, when presented, you would get the impression that they are brand new, but I'll still support. And a perfect example, Mr. Speaker, is when the parliamentary rep from St. Andrew's Southwest yesterday spoke of SIAP, and I'm very supportive of this project, and spoke about the importance of bringing SIAP to the rural communities. Mr. Speaker, that does not go contrary to what I believe and what I support. But Mr. Speaker, the introduction of a sub-office in St. Patrick's is not going to introduce SIAP to the rural communities. As a matter of fact, the presenter yesterday, the parliamentary rep for St. Andrew Southwest, spoke of his expertise in economics. And I would say to him this morning that if the cost-benefit analysis shows that the introduction or reintroduction of the office there is going to add value, I totally support. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say if the cost is lower. Even if the cost is higher and it's going to bring added benefits, Mr. Speaker, I support that. But I believe, Mr. Speaker, the impression that persons would have been left with yesterday is that SIAP was never in the rural communities. So, Mr. Speaker, right now, there are 5 business development officers in the rural communities. As a matter of fact, they are based at the Simon Cultural Facility, sorry, at the Simon Industrial Center under the GIDC. Mr. Speaker, there are about 12 field officers in various parishes throughout Grenada, including the rural parishes. And so, Mr. Speaker, I applaud that we are going to expand the services. I applaud that we are going to go into St. Patrick's with an office there. Absolutely no problem with that. to expand and to strengthen what was there. Mr. Speaker, another example is that of the T.A. Marischal Community College. Mr. Speaker, I believe historically, all of us have looked at, have examined, have identified the many issues at the T.A. Marischal Community College. Mr. Speaker, the change in the council, I see persons on the council who were approached before to sit on the council. At the time, I would imagine, and it's people I respect very highly, so I would not impute any motive at all. At the time, some were not available to serve. Mr. Speaker, I respect most of the persons I see. I don't know every single one of them. But Mr. Speaker, the impression that this is a work that is going to now start, I would like to advise Mr. Speaker that quite a significant sum of monies was spent for a study that was done by the University of the West Indies to identify the problems, the challenges, and recommend solutions. And so, Mr. Speaker, I would highly support and recommend that what we do at this stage is to continue to invest, to continue to chart the way forward in terms of implementation of some of those recommendations and others, of course, that the new council will have. Mr. Speaker, that also has my full support. Mr. Speaker, I move now specifically to the speech delivered on Monday by the Honorable Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, I heard one of our members on the other side, the Honorable Member for St. Andrew South West, when he mentioned that it was a presentation of hope. Mr. Speaker, I believe if you ask me to rate the document, if you ask me to give my impression of the speech presented on Monday, Mr. Speaker, without any hesitation, I would say it was a well-written speech, without hesitation. Mr. Speaker, I would not deny either that that speech may have given some hope, because of course the presenter, the Honorable Prime Minister, spoke about the macroeconomic and social context in which the budget was being presented. So there is need for that. Mr. Speaker, the challenge that I had, though, with the presentation and with the document, and I actually went back, even busy as I was, and I read from the first word to the last, Mr. Speaker. And while I was doing that, Mr. Speaker, I attempted to cross-check and to cross-reference with the actual budget document. It was a task. And at times, I had to call to seek clarification. Mr. Speaker, there are many cases in question, but I'll just share one or two of those that stood out. Mr. Speaker, the reference, and it was said yesterday also, that the maintenance budget on the Ministry of Education for 2023 is $13.2 million. I searched then, and then I searched again yesterday, and I'm still seeing 9 million. It's probably there somewhere, but I'm saying under maintenance, under the Ministry of Education, I am seeing $9 million. And there are a number of cases like those. And as I said, I tried to cross-reference, and it was a challenging exercise. The figures were not matching up in many cases. But Mr. Speaker, it was not just the matching up of the figures, Mr. Speaker. There were a number of cases where statements were made. And if you don't know, Mr. Speaker, you would be easily misled if you don't know. So for example, Mr. Speaker, when it was said that is the biggest budget ever, the Ministry of Education, I was happy. I would never criticize an increase in budget for Ministry of Education. As a matter of fact, I don't think I would for any ministry. Mr. Speaker, so I immediately went to the budget document to see what we were increasing. And so, Mr. Speaker, when I searched, one of the things that popped out immediately, as a matter of fact, in the summary, right to the top, administration, I recognize the portfolio for youth and the administration that was referred to there, the administration budget moving from 3 to 13 million. The truth is, I did not even remember that Ministry of Youth was moved over, or education, I don't want to sound biased in any way, whether youth move or education move, doesn't make a difference. But the point, Mr. Speaker, is this, that if you're gonna move a Ministry of Youth, of Sports, and of Culture, and you're gonna merge that with the Ministry of Education, I mean, obviously, Mr. Speaker, you expect that there would be a significant increase. But Mr. Speaker, except I heard wrong, I heard and I read, Mr. Speaker, the impression that one would leave with is that there was a significant increase in budget and allocation because of new initiatives. Mr. Speaker, the other area that I wish to make reference to that came out very strongly in the presentation, in the speech delivered, the budget speech, Mr. Speaker, was the reference to nothing was done. Mr. Speaker, it came out directly and indirectly several times. So, Speaker, the first thing that crossed my mind was this. How does the persons, and I would love to be excluded from that statement, Mr. Speaker, that I'm about to make. And who I include, Mr. Speaker, would be the people who have worked hard, the people who would have made sacrifices, the people who would have gone beyond to make certain things happen. I wondered, how did they feel when the efforts would have amounted to nothing? Immediately, Mr. Speaker, the thought came back, and I remember during the pandemic particularly, and that particular one never left my memory. I was home at about 9 p.m. one night. I mean, this was a crisis. It took a lot of guts to respond to it, Mr. Speaker. It took a lot to deal with what was coming and coming fast and furious. And you were dealing with the crisis, COVID-19, you were dealing with the industrial action, and you were dealing with everything else that you were dealing with before. And Mr. Speaker, at about 9 p.m., that is why I give credit all the time to the people, minus myself, the people who made a difference. So it was about 9 p.m., Mr. Speaker, when I spoke to the PS in the Ministry of Education at the time, and he said to me, we're at the ministry. So I asked him, what are you all doing there at 9 o'clock? No, I wouldn't say that this was something new, but at the particular time, I couldn't understand at 9 p.m. what they were doing. And when he explained, Mr. Speaker, what they were doing and the team that was there at 9 p.m., and when he added to that, Mr. Speaker, that they intend to go till tomorrow morning, Mr. Speaker, I left Simun, I went down to the ministerial, to the Ministry of Education, and I stayed there till the next morning. The truth is, Mr. Speaker, all I felt in the middle of a crisis was that I wanted to encourage them. And you're talking about ordinary workers who were there until morning. So, Mr. Speaker, it would be very difficult for me to summarize and to say that nothing happened under the past administration. Nothing was done, nothing was accomplished. That would be hard for me. So I thought it would have been a little wise, Mr. Speaker, to say that the past administration probably didn't achieve all that they intended to achieve. The past administration probably did not do a perfect job, and I don't think any administration will. Not any under the sun, Mr. Speaker. But that we are going to do more, we are going to expand, we are going to probably improve, we are going to do all the right things, Mr. Speaker, all that would be fine. But, Mr. Speaker, I would find it difficult that deliberately the impression is given that nothing was done. So, Speaker, it was Loretta Young who once said, giving credit where credit is due is a rewarding habit to form. Its rewards are inestimable. Mr. Speaker, I mention this for what it is worth. Mr. Speaker, in the presentation, reference was made to major works to be done for the reopening of a few schools. Mr. Speaker, I commend all of those who are going to continue the work, the hard work of the people who worked hard to bring many of these initiatives to the point that they got. So, Mr. Speaker, when I heard that Bishop's College, Grenada, SDA Comprehensive, and so are going to be opening, of course, I would not stand here. I would be foolish to stand here and say they should not be open. But, Mr. Speaker, what I found very interesting is that when reference was made to these institutions, the reference was that major works need to be done to have these facilities open. Mr. Speaker, in June of this year, and when I listened, I would have never thought if I did not know, 90% and 85% respectively on the work of these schools were completed. Mr. Speaker, I would support and I would encourage the completion. Mr. Speaker, these two schools alone were approximately $20 million allocated. Another example, Mr. Speaker, is the Presentation Brothers College. An additional wing, Mr. Speaker, was constructed. And in June, more than 95% of the work was completed. A total of $4.6 million was allocated for this project. So, Speaker, additional funding was secured for the construction of the St. Andrews Anglican Primary School, the Grenada Christian Academy, and St. David's Catholic Secondary School, all new schools to be built in new locations. Mr. Speaker, just for those six projects, over $50 million was secured from the Caribbean Development Bank. Three of those six major works were in final construction stages, two were in the final design stages, and one was at the stage of selecting a contractor. Mr. Speaker, those projects, in many cases, had significant delays. I believe everyone is aware of that, and it was clarified even further yesterday. But, Mr. Speaker, I want to express appreciation to some people who have gone really beyond their call of duty, what they were paid to do in many cases because of some of the challenges faced with these initiatives. And I want to commend them this morning. Mr. Speaker, in addition to those projects, 75 other schools were rehabilitated between 21 and 2022, and not accounted for in the $50 million mentioned above. Mr. Speaker, what is instructive to note is that most, if not all, of these works were done during the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Speaker, as I said, there are people who have sacrificed beyond the call of duty. So, Mr. Speaker, the question would be now, could they have been implemented faster? Could more have been done? Of course, Mr. Speaker, I would totally agree. But as I said before, I would want to recognize those who have labored, and I say let us continue to build, let us continue to expand on these works. Mr. Speaker, in the estimate of revenue and expenditure, as I said, you would notice that under local revenue, $9 million was budgeted for this year. If you look at what was spent in the year before, budgeted for next year, so if you look at what was spent this year, Mr. Speaker, you would notice that prior to June 2022, most of these spendings would have occurred. And this spending would have occurred, Mr. Speaker, a total cost of over $18 million, even if only $3 million was initially budgeted. So here you have a budget of over $50 million for major works, and you have an additional budget, Mr. Speaker. And in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of the challenges of the spending of COVID-19, Mr. Speaker, this government of 2022, June, Mr. Speaker, would have expended additional resources. Mr. Speaker, across the floor of this House, I believe every member is concerned about school infrastructure development, and I believe the new National Party administration has done an excellent job, in my opinion, in that particular area. And I say, of course, let us build on it, let us expand it, let us do even more for the children of our country. Mr. Speaker, while on school infrastructure, I want to make mention also of that of the $3 million that was allocated and spent on the Go Green project. I heard before about climate change, resilience, and all of that, Mr. Speaker. We recognize a major challenge was that of the electricity bill that was coming for schools, particularly night lighting. And so, Mr. Speaker, the government at the time invested in this project, installing solar lights and cameras, because we would know that security was also a major challenge. So across the length and breadth of Grenada, what was the intention and what did we do as a result? Was to initiate this project to address the issue of electricity consumption, to give our commitments as it relates to climate change and what we are going to do, small as it is, in this particular project, to support, Mr. Speaker. And so, Mr. Speaker, I am extremely happy that this work was done that can now be built upon. Mr. Speaker, we expect to see the results in the reduction of electricity cost for the Ministry of Education. Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, and one of my colleagues yesterday, Mr. Speaker, made mention of school security and fencing and all of that, and all of this was part of the bigger picture. So how do you ensure that you protect schools in different forms, different ways? And the next phase, Mr. Speaker, was to be the fencing of all of our schools. And Mr. Speaker, I trust that this will also happen. I did not see it budgeted for, but I would still encourage, there is an opportunity in the supplemental that this could still be done. I think it would be an excellent complement for this major investment taken by the previous administration. Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, I want to also make reference to the issue of technology in education. And I would also support, Mr. Speaker, any initiative that seeks to transform education using technology that has been vetted, any initiative that has been vetted, Mr. Speaker. And so, Mr. Speaker, I noticed that there is an allocation for the continuation of the e-books program. And there's also an allocation of $150,000 for the EMIS program. Mr. Speaker, and I mentioned coding before. But Mr. Speaker, while I support those three initiatives, I go back to the point that I made before, that it could be very misleading to give the impression that nothing was done. Mr. Speaker, I am firmly of the view, and I have not heard anything to question my view at this time, that the former administration has built a strong and solid foundation as it relates to the transformation of education through technology. Mr. Speaker, I am totally convinced of this. Should more be done? Mr. Speaker, of course more should be done. Should we expand the initiatives? Of course they should be expanded. So for example, Mr. Speaker, one of the initiatives that we started discussion within the Ministry of Education is digital classrooms. And the intention was to pilot in 2023 digital classrooms in secondary schools. And one of the speakers on the other side, the MP for St. George's Northeast, made mention of that. Mr. Speaker, I totally support moving in that direction. But Mr. Speaker, if you look at what was done, it reminds me, and as a matter of fact, when the leader of the opposition spoke yesterday and he spoke about what was done, generally speaking, in technology, it brought my mind back. And I'm sure some other persons in this house, Mr. Speaker, would be able to bring their minds back. For me, I had to walk about 30 minutes, and there's somebody else in the house from the Birch Grove area. I had to walk about 30 minutes to go to make what was called then a collect call to America. So there was a phone booth next to the post office. I know I look young, but I was there. I was there when collect calls happened. So I had to walk, Mr. Speaker, to go to Birch Grove Junction next to the post office to use the phone booth to make a collect call to America. Mr. Speaker, I am sure there's somebody in this house who would be able to remind me what 1 minute was at that time, what you paid for a minute. Mr. Speaker, I would not say that this administration before achieved everything in technology. But Mr. Speaker, what was achieved is commendable, Mr. Speaker. What was achieved? And I want to just make reference to a few things that were achieved in the area of education. And I recommend this morning very highly that they be built upon and expanded. Mr. Speaker, the installation of high-speed internet infrastructure in all schools, primary, secondary, tertiary, private schools included, Mr. Speaker, some Caribbean countries are still trying to find resources to introduce high-speed internet in schools, particularly based on what our lessons were as a result of COVID and Ivan and so many other disasters. Mr. Speaker, the provision of devices to students, teachers, and principals. Mr. Speaker, while we were distributing devices in Barbados and Trinidad, for example, the government was calling on the private sector to donate devices. I'm sure if we do a check now, most of the Caribbean countries have not distributed devices to all students and teachers. Mr. Speaker, at the primary and secondary level, we were able to do this. And if you ask me, this is in direct correlation to investment in ICT. Mr. Speaker, phase one and phase two, training of principals, teachers, students, even parents, education of parents, that process started, and I say let us continue. The introduction of e-books for students in primary and secondary school, and the engagement of teachers to assist with, Mr. Speaker, the development of content, the review of content. Mr. Speaker, all of this happened. Information and communication technology, and I say let us build upon it. The installation of e-books on devices, and sometimes that one, Mr. Speaker, I want to pause again to give credit. Mr. Speaker, I am quite sure the mind can imagine what it is like to install those apps and those platforms on all of these thousands and thousands of devices, and people actually did a lot to make it happen. Mr. Speaker, the engagement, as I said, of local teachers to assist with the review and in some cases development of content, Mr. Speaker, in some cases they were even paid for some of the services. The appointment of technical support staff across the school system to help in the middle of a crisis with rolling out initiatives like these. Mr. Speaker, computer labs in schools. Mr. Speaker, e-testing online. Our students being able to do exam online in the middle of a crisis, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the provision of devices and support systems, additional support system for our primary schools. The purchase of license, the development of software, Mr. Speaker. The EMIS project is a perfect example to facilitate data collection and the management of data across the education system. Science, technology, communication technology, Mr. Speaker, however we wish to refer to it. Mr. Speaker, the rollout of Microsoft 365 for all students and teachers. Mr. Speaker, I actually subscribed a couple weeks ago to renew my Microsoft account. Mr. Speaker, across the school system, students and teachers in the Ministry of Education, persons were provided with great support from the Ministry of ICT, the same Ministry of ICT, Mr. Speaker, we had the rollout of a number of these initiatives. Mr. Speaker, I want to make mention again, as I said, e-testing, because what that took, so many people would have sacrificed to make it happen. Mr. Speaker, I want to make mention at this stage to the issue of new and old. As I said before, I looked through and I saw, I believe it was two new projects under education. Some of the projects that were listed there and in other areas coming under new names, and I'm sure the member for St. Andrew Southwest would agree with me that in business you refer to that as rebranding. And there's absolutely no problem with rebranding, Mr. Speaker, but I suggest, Mr. Speaker, that it could become confusing when it is presented as a new initiative. So, Mr. Speaker, if we're going to move from the bushing and we're going to call it BEST, I have absolutely no problem with that, Mr. Speaker. My only concern is when I look at the figures, Mr. Speaker, it appears that there is a significant cut in the budget for that program. And then I think about the people of St. Andrew Southeast who normally would benefit from that program, and then it concerns me. So the name so much, I would support, call it BEST, call it anything. Mr. Speaker, I have no problem with changing the name. But Mr. Speaker, I would say let it not negatively affect any person who would have benefited before. Mr. Speaker, I believe very much, as I said before, in the transformation through education. We may not have called it transformation. Maybe we call them other things, I don't know. But I believe one of the things, Mr. Speaker, that definitely can fit the definition of transformation is when we speak about tertiary education and higher education for citizens of this country, particularly, Mr. Speaker, I make reference to the poor and vulnerable. Mr. Speaker, reference was made to that particular area, and I wish to draw to our attention that between the period 2018 and 2022, I only use that short space of time, between 2018 and 2022, Mr. Speaker, a total of 349 scholarships were awarded to students to study locally, regionally, and internationally. 349. Mr. Speaker, those scholarships cost over $86 million in value. Should we do more? Of course. Your commitment to give every household a university graduate, I support that. I would encourage it. Let's do it. But, Mr. Speaker, to give the impression that there has never been transformation, there has never been anything, Mr. Speaker, is what concerns me. But, Mr. Speaker, you know those 349 scholarships. The major beneficiaries of those were young people, children, students from rural communities, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, these were the daughters and the sons of the debouchers, the cleaners, the sanitizers, the monitors, Mr. Speaker. So when we speak about lifting people up, when we speak about not giving them a handout, but giving them a hand up, that is part of the process of giving families a hand up. When you educate their children, that their children could come back and take them out of poverty. Lift them out, Mr. Speaker. I agree with you, government should not do everything. Government cannot do everything. But you empower people to empower others. Mr. Speaker, I know of practical cases in my own constituencies, poor families, parents actually in the debouching program, yes. But I've lived to see, and I have not lived that long yet, Mr. Speaker, but I've already lived to see, Mr. Speaker, that doctors come back to take care of their parents, Mr. Speaker. And I have more than one example in my own constituency. Mr. Speaker, I want to encourage us. Whatever was built before, we don't have to break it down. We don't have to speak of it as nothing. We can build on it. We can expand it. We can make it better. We can ensure that more people benefit in the process. Mr. Speaker, when I speak about 300, let me get the exact figure. Mr. Speaker, 300, I believe it was 48, I said. Young people, children from rural communities, people who had a dream but they never knew how they were going to achieve it, parents who wished that their children would turn out to be a doctor but never saw the possibility, Mr. Speaker, 349. Only between 2018 and 2022. Mr. Speaker, that number does not include the many students, the many young people who would have been supported by this government then, Mr. Speaker, through the Grenada Development Bank, concessionary. Go and study, and when you come back, you can start to repay. Mr. Speaker, and many other initiatives like the Imani program where young people had an opportunity to pursue those dreams. So, Mr. Speaker, speaking about the Imani program, I wish to make a couple comments, and I listened carefully the contributions made both in the presentation of the budget speech and the minister who holds the portfolio of youth, the parliamentary representative for St. George's North East. Mr. Speaker, I want to say from the onset that I will not disagree with anyone who says that there are shortcomings, there are weaknesses, there are areas for improvement in the Imani program. As a matter of fact, that statement would stand long after even this current administration leaves office. So somebody would stand up and point out, what were your shortcomings? What were your weaknesses? What were the areas you could have improved? It would happen, and we would leave it that way. And the reason being, Mr. Speaker, is when you speak about these initiatives, the common denominator, the critical factor, Mr. Speaker, is that people are involved. And so, Mr. Speaker, there are things that will not always go right and go as planned and go as you envision or you reimagine, Mr. Speaker, because of that particular factor. Should we improve? Should we expand? Mr. Speaker, my concluding view remains absolutely yes. But Mr. Speaker, the element that we missed in all of the presentations, all of the contributions of the Imani program, is the thousands of young people who had an opportunity, Mr. Speaker, that we don't know what it would have been if they did not have that opportunity. Mr. Speaker, we cannot deny that fact. Undisputable it is. That there would have been thousands of young people who were given that opportunity, and through that opportunity, even if it was not perfect, even if everything did not go right, they can look back today and say, thank God for that opportunity. That does not change the fact that there are weaknesses that we should improve. Mr. Speaker, there are many persons through this program who had an opportunity. And if you speak to them today, Mr. Speaker, they will tell you what it did for them. So yes, we know those persons who were never transitioned. And you know, this subject of transition, let me just say this. And I believe the member said it yesterday. The previous administration, and you're absolutely right, MP for St. George Northeast, the previous administration started a program with a particular intention, yes. What was that intention? The intention was, and that was the very first intention, to take 2,000 young people, train them for 2 years, release them, whether it be employment, whether it be back home, whether it be wherever, 2,000 people, Mr. Speaker. So let us not start thinking that is the easiest thing under the sun to find employment for 2,000 people at a time, Mr. Speaker. So that was the intention. Mr. Speaker, I remember the process because I've been through the process, so I remember. Mr. Speaker, I believe one of the weaknesses, and I'm putting it this way here, of the past administration when it came to programs like these was a heart for poor and vulnerable and disadvantaged people. And you know why I call it a weakness, Mr. Speaker? Because it was referred to here in the presentations as something that has caused the program partly to be in the state that it's in. Because you see, Mr. Speaker, intentionally, it was that this first 2,000 people should have left after 2 years, so another 2,000 could have come. Mr. Speaker, when you check the statistics, over 6,000 young people would have passed through this program. Mr. Speaker, there's only one reason, and it cannot be election. It cannot be election, Mr. Speaker, right? I heard the comment, election. My ears are sharp. Mr. Speaker, it cannot be election. Because I challenge any person in this house, go back and check the records of the times when these persons were enrolled into the program. In some cases, Mr. Speaker, it would have been months after an election. So it could not have been election. It must have been a heart for young people and giving them an opportunity. I'm convinced that that is what it was. Was it perfect? I go back again to say no. Could it have been better? I go back to say yes. Could we expand on it? You have my support to expand on it, develop it, take more. But that's where my concern lies, Mr. Speaker. And I would trust, maybe in a side conversation, the minister would explain to me. Because it appears, Mr. Speaker, that there is a cut in the budget for this program for 2023. Now, a cut for me, Mr. Speaker, could mean two things. And that's just my narrow, basic assessment. It could mean a reduction in people, which I trust would not be the case. It could also be a reduction in some of the programs, the opportunities. Knowing the cost of skills training, I can't see how that part of the budget could be going downwards. So I'm left to conclude, because the explanation was not given, I'm left to conclude, Mr. Speaker, that it has to be that maybe we are not going to take the usual numbers. I'm left to conclude, as I said, an explanation was not given. If it's given, I can conclude differently. And so, Mr. Speaker, as I said before, thousands of young people across this country have received apprenticeship training. Their lives have been changed. And, Mr. Speaker, they had many opportunities, including life skills. If you look at the number of areas, I'm sure there are about 20 different areas in skills, particularly. So this is speaking about life skills. And I've heard stories, Mr. Speaker, of how a three-month life skill program would have changed my life. How I think, how I see things. So I don't devalue those things. I can't call them nothing, because I believe in the process, many lives were changed. Mr. Speaker, CVQ, so I see we are going to reimagine, we are going to transform, and I notice the emphasis on CVQs and skills training. And Mr. Speaker, this has been happening for many years, and I support if we're going to add areas, if we're going to change areas. I always subscribe to the view that there are some areas that are oversubscribed, and you mentioned a few of them yesterday. And probably more should be done in particular areas, of course. But Mr. Speaker, when we speak about CVQ, when we speak about skills training, I believe, Mr. Speaker, the record would show that thousands of persons benefited in this area. And if you check the stock of people in Grenada right now, Mr. Speaker, who have CVQ qualification and certification, Mr. Speaker, you would recognize, I am sure, that most of them received it under the Imani program. Mr. Speaker, some of them are able to use it even locally in various areas. And so, of course, I support the NTA getting more involved. But, Mr. Speaker, I'm sure maybe the MP, in speaking on the subject, was not totally aware, but the NTA has been involved in this program for many, many years. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, it would be impossible to give certification under this program, to give someone a certificate as a CVQ, vocational qualification, Mr. Speaker. According to the law, it would be impossible to do so without the NTA. The NTA is the only body. So it's not an issue. It's not an issue of not having people in the Ministry of Education, or Ministry of Youth, sorry, who could have done what the NTA was not doing or was doing. Mr. Speaker, the point is only the NTA could have done it. Nobody else in Grenada, according to the law, can grant CVQ certificates, else many people would be doing it. And so, Mr. Speaker, the NTA is the only body that could continue to do it. Now, if they are going to manage the training as an additional initiative, I don't even have an objection to that. So, Speaker, the truth is, who does it when it comes to giving the opportunity? Once the opportunity is given, I'm okay. So moving it to the NTA, Mr. Speaker, doesn't change the fact that thousands of young people in Grenada, Carrico, and Piti Martinique already have certificates, CVQ qualification, as a result of the work that was done over the years under this particular program. Mr. Speaker, if you check and you do a study, and my colleague from St. Member for St. Andrew Southwest made mention to data, maybe this is something that we need to collect some data on. Because, Mr. Speaker, throughout Grenada, Carrico, Piti Martinique, you would find that there are a number of young persons, whether they're in the field of nursing, teaching, doctors, maybe businesswomen, businessmen, Mr. Speaker, many of them would tell you, thanks to the Imani program for the opportunity that it gave me. I again go back to say, could more have been done? Could it have been better? Of course, Mr. Speaker, I would not change that line. Mr. Speaker, as it relates to the upskilling and the transition of the current IMANI trainees, Mr. Speaker, what I say is this. Remember, they have families. Remember that many of them deserve an opportunity. And so whatever we do, whatever is done in the coming months, I appeal to the administration on behalf of all of these persons that everything should be done to give them an opportunity. Yes, as you said, but an opportunity that is not going to result in after 2 months, 3 months, they are back to where they started. I appeal to the administration in that regard. So when I see the proposal being put forward for
Honorable
training...
Honorable MP, you have 10 minutes left.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And may I use this opportunity to ask if I can have an additional 10 minutes?
No, I suggest you use the 10 minutes. See how far you go, then I can add after.
Yes. I was just trying to avoid interrupting you again.
Okay, so I give you 5 minutes extra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm guided. So, Mr. Speaker, and that's what it does. Mr. Speaker, I want to also make mention very quickly of a couple other programs that I either did not see or there has been a cut or a reduction, and one I want to make mention of is the Empower program. Mr. Speaker, I want to appeal. I want to appeal particularly on behalf of the young men in communities across Grenada, Karakou, and Piti Matnik, young men who need an opportunity, young men who probably need a program like this to be given that opportunity. Mr. Speaker, I am not sure what the explanation is for cutting the program, the budget for the program. If it's going to be made up somewhere else, I'm saying fine, but I'm saying what I see in the budget document is a cut in the budget for the Empower program. Mr. Speaker, many young men can tell you that this program helped to save their lives. Many young men can tell you that. Did everyone get transformed in the process? No. Could it have been better? Yes. Should we expand? Yes. Should we make it better? Yes. Mr. Speaker, another example in this regard, and reference was made yesterday to the Spice Garment and Design Factory. Mr. Speaker, that particular project, and I wish to give credit here and recognize the former Minister for Youth, Honorable Keith Lewis, as it relates to this initiative. Mr. Speaker, this initiative, in my opinion, falls squarely under the banner of transformation. And so, Mr. Speaker, what I say is don't let it die. Don't let it die. I would say it was a great start. I would say many people benefited, Mr. Speaker. If there are weaknesses, I say let's correct them. If there are challenges, let's solve them. But I say do not let the Spice Garment and Design Factory in Pulse die. But there's another reason, Mr. Speaker. There's another reason I say that. And you know what the other reason is? Check the records in Grenada as it relates to success of cooperatives. But let's not even go yet to success. Let us start with interest in cooperatives. Now, if some young people came together, they have an interest, they started doing something, they've made some progress. I mean, the people saw things, people wear it, I wore a shirt from them. Excellent. I call that transformation by my definition. Mr. Speaker, I say, please do not let it die. I want to make one more appeal, Mr. Speaker, and that has to do with the area of sports. Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to get into the debate of who was sent home, who was taken back, if the letter was a mistake. I'm not going to go there, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what I want to focus on is that there are people within that group of persons who are not yet back on the job, who I believe have excellent skills, Mr. Speaker, right? Mr. Speaker, and it's not just that. I had the opportunity, the distinct opportunity, to serve as Minister for Sports. And Mr. Speaker, during that period, there are two things that I'll never forget. One being the team visiting Grenada to determine whether Grenada got a particular World Cup game, right? I remember very clearly that game. I actually referred to there should be West Indies versus England. Yeah, I remember that very clearly. And then the second one was CONCACAF under 17 in Grenada. And Mr. Speaker, the reason I'm referring to this, and I'll put it this way in conclusion, had it not been, not for the Lord on my side, had it not been for these people that I reference, Mr. Speaker, there's no way that Grenada was getting those games that I referred to. And I'll tell you why I know there is no way. Mr. Speaker, they came to my office and they said that there is absolutely no way. I don't remember the gentleman's name. People like Cheney Joseph was present in the room, Mr. Howard, when he said, Minister, there is no way that Grenada will be ready by the time we're ready to launch the under 17, the CONCACAF under 17. Mr. Speaker, in the midst of people like Cheney Joseph and others, I said, we will make it. Just give us 2 weeks. Give us 3 weeks. We are going to make it happen. Mr. Speaker, I don't take credit for the fact that we made it happen. I don't. I refuse, Mr. Speaker. I give total credit to the groundsmen, particularly, Mr. Speaker, and I want to make reference to two particular fields, the National Stadium, Holas and his team, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Nelson and his team at Montrouge. Mr. Speaker, I'm just saying this morning, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty, who did and who didn't. Mr. Speaker, what I'm saying, please have a heart for those persons who have the skills. If they had shortcomings, if they had weaknesses, whatever the problems, I'm saying, you know, maybe MIT can fix the problems. You know, MIT could deal with the problem. But let us reconsider that particular decision. Mr. Speaker, people-centered development is the main part of the theme for next year's budget. And Mr. Speaker, in this light, I want to turn to the people of St. Andrew Southeast. Mr. Speaker, I listened very carefully, I read carefully too, and I want to say this morning, I have absolutely no problem, no objection, no difficulty with the fact that, as was referred to in the statement, many people do not have pie in the sky. They have pie on their plate. I'm thankful. I'm happy for all these people. Mr. Speaker, but this morning I want to say this, that there are also many people who don't have pie on their plate because the pie was taken away. Mr. Speaker, I am just saying, with all due respect that I can use this morning, that the people who are considered to be poor, and I know we don't like to hear that word, I know anytime we say this poor and vulnerable, there seems to be a concern. Mr. Speaker, 11 point something is the current rate of poverty in the United States of America. Millions of people fall under the poverty line in the United States of America. So I look forward to the day when, as was said yesterday, everybody in Grenada would be rich, nobody would be poor. I would love, I look forward, I would celebrate with you the day when nobody in Grenada would be poor. But until then, Mr. Speaker, what I want to say this morning is that greater consideration, and this is what I'll say, greater consideration must be given, should be given, I implore that it should be given to the poor and vulnerable. And I want to just use, Mr. Speaker, two examples. Mr. Speaker, I don't know how to not have a problem with the number of persons who were sent home just after the last general elections. Mr. Speaker, I could understand if you are speaking about people in key political positions, I may not question that. But I'm speaking, Mr. Speaker, before the administration was even able to settle in, Mr. Speaker, in St. Andrew Southeast alone, and I'm talking brigades and wardens and ordinary people who depend on a basic income to feed their families. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about people who had an opportunity to do that over a period of time for years. So they would have conditioned their minds, fortunately or unfortunately, to believe that this was going to continue. And I'm talking about providing, let's not get politics now into the middle of this. I'm talking about people who are providing a basic service in communities. Mr. Speaker, yesterday it was said that monies is not the problem. There's no problem with money. The problem is implementation. And I'm saying, my God, if money was not the problem, then how come in St. Andrew Southeast alone, just brigades and wardens and those community workers, 46 persons were sent home just after the election? Mr. Speaker, if I multiply that averaging it by 15 constituencies average, it's about 690-something persons, about 690. Mr. Speaker, the point I'm making, and I'm not speaking from a political perspective. I am speaking from a moral perspective of people who have families. I am speaking about people, and even some of these people, Mr. Speaker, and I trust that we would address this, and I'm not thinking politics this morning. Mr. Speaker, if you have one of these persons who went home 2 weeks after the elections, and then comes the debushing program, and I'll use a real-life example. Mr. Speaker, that person desires to do a fortnight in the road. Mr. Speaker, to tell that person to go to me, when you know I'm not giving fortnight, I don't have the ability, I don't have the capacity, I don't have the resources to give fortnight, Mr. Speaker, that's what I'm speaking about. And I'm saying genuinely, honestly this morning, Mr. Speaker, that I would love for us to address those particular issues. And I want to advise that maybe if greater supervision is given to the persons who are making the decision, it may rebound to your advantage. That's all I would say. If greater supervision is given to the persons deciding, give Peter, don't give Clarice, give this one, then maybe it would rebound to your advantage. So I'm saying it with good intentions. Mr. Speaker, I feel very comfortable as it relates to that debushing program in St. Andrew Southeast. What I see happening now never happened during the time that I served as parliamentary representative. And so I would just encourage, let's work on it, let's improve it, let's do whatever is necessary to make it better. You have my support in that regard. Mr. Speaker, similarly, I want to appeal as it relates to the people. So, Speaker, is that the point I asked for 5 more minutes? Or that's it? Right. So I want to close by appealing to all the persons, Mr. Speaker, who are in need of various services that they received before, had access to before. Mr. Speaker, there is a challenge, and I'm speaking on behalf of the people of St. Andrew Southeast. I just want to make an appeal on their behalf that this particular issue be addressed, and I'm begging and pleading on their behalf. And there are some projects and initiatives that were well on the way to begin implementation. And I'll give a perfect example, the lighting of the telescope playing field where the contract was signed, the upgrade of the whole pasture where significant work in preparation of the scopes and all of that was done. Mr. Speaker, I appeal that please we can have those projects initiated, completed in whatever form they are currently. And the final one, Mr. Speaker, the post-rural back road. I want to appeal and beg and plead for the grading of the farm road in the first instance, because there's a road that is broken and this is absolutely necessary to help them to have access. And not only that, Mr. Speaker, as it relates to the farm roads, I also wish to say this. There was a commitment that that road would have been included in 2023 as one of the farm roads to be developed, and I want to beg and appeal that consideration. Maybe Karakou might be willing to give up one of the three so that Post-Royal Back Road can be included. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to just conclude finally by saying thank you for your patience. And Mr. Speaker, I look forward to the transformation. I would commend, I would applaud, I would support. Mr. Speaker, let us continue. Let us continue with the initiatives to put people first. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Honorable MP for St. Andrews Southeast. And I now invite the Honorable MP for the constituency of Karakou and Peter Martinique, Honorable Tevin Andrew, to make his contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I stand here today to give full support, 100% support, to this budget. This budget, it's a transformative budget. It's a people-centered budget. This is boots on the ground budget, a budget of getting things done, a pie on the plate budget, and most importantly, Mr. Speaker, this budget does not leave out the great and resilient people of Karakou and Piti Martinique. I want to take this opportunity before I start to recognize the permanent secretary within the Ministry of Karakou and Piti Martinique. Might I say the best permanent secretary within the state of Grenada, and I'll be bold enough to add the best permanent secretary within our region. They call him the henchman. Never mind. He gets things done and make the work easier for me, and I want to recognize him and thank him today. Yes, And I want to also use the opportunity to recognize by the staff at the constituency office in Karakou who travel all the way overseas to be here. So, for example, my office manager traveled from Piti Martinique over the seas, then Karakou, and then come down to Grenada. So we thank you so much for being here to give the support. Mr. Speaker, $22.8 million is a lot of money. I'm only sorry we didn't get more. But we're satisfied. We're thankful. We're grateful for the sum that has been given to the people of Karakou and Piti Martinique. The largest sum that has ever been given. The largest budget for Karakou and Piti Martinique. This is transformation. Mr. Speaker, in 2023, the fishermen and women and the people of Windward will be very happy to finally realize the building or the rebuilding of the fish center in Windward. And I want to state here today as well that Windward, you're not only going to be getting your fish market, but you will also be getting an improved jetty facility. That, sisters and brothers, is transformation. Because if you look at the present condition of the fish market in Windward, which I've sent a copy to all members of parliament, including through you, Mr. Speaker, the opposition leader, Her Majesty's opposition leader, you look at the condition of it. Over 20 plus years, Mr. Speaker, they've been in charge of the affairs of Carrick and Pity Matnick, and those buildings run down under their watch. And in 5 months, we are able to recognize that and budget for it. This is leadership. This is transformation. Speak, it's all right, man. Mr. Speaker, we will be starting the process to accommodate night landing in Carrickoo and Pity Matnick. Transformation. Sums have been budgeted for that. So planes could land in Carrickoo Airport at night. And my honorable friend, Mr. Speaker, through you, for St. Mark's, whenever she wants to come in Carrickoo, ever she finish in Parliament at late hours, there will be flights coming very soon that will take you from mainland Grenada to Carrickoo at night. That, my friends, is transportation, is transformation. Mr. Speaker, lighting of the Pity Matnick jetty. And not just lighting of the Pity Matnick jetty, you know, work has started. Work has started on the main jetty in Pity Matnick, Mr. Speaker. You might have, if you've been following the campaign and you've been following what I've been advocating for in Carrick and Pity Matnick, and you look at the condition that the people now have.